time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is so great to be with you guys today. It's Thursday, which means it's time for the coach approach, where Ant from 49ers Cutback and myself look at things through a coaching perspective of the matchup this week, the state of the 49ers, how you would handle certain things. Ant, how are you doing on this wonderful Thursday?
Doing great. Yeah, it's a fun matchup too. You know, 49ers versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've been playing, it feels like, every single year. And every year you usually have the Baker Mayfield versus Nick Bosa. Of course, that's not happening, but Baker's still playing well. And I love these matchups at this time of the year because these are two teams that are competing to be, you know, top teams in the NFC. And I think that this is going to be a fun matchup for the 49ers. You got flex to 125 Pacific time, of course, for, you know, everyone on the East Coast. That it just means later. They don't really care. It's just later. But it's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm pumped, man. Like 4-1 versus 4-1. They played 10 games between these two teams. Every single one of them has come down to one possession. And like, it's funny because as 49er fans, we're like, God, why is it always so crazy? Why is it always so up and down? The Bucs games are crazier than our games, believe it or not. They've had four straight games come down to a last second field goal, win or loss. Like, I don't know. Like, is there a chance? It's a 3-point spread currently. The 49ers are underdogs traveling, you know, three time zones. I get that. But like, is there a chance that this could be a blowout one way or the other, or is this destined to be kind of overtime, whatever else, last second, buzzer beater, just one of those crazy, crazy games that just both teams seem to have this year?
Yeah, I don't see a blowout coming. I think that this is going to be a tough one. You know, you just look back at last year, the 49ers squeaked by, you know, with a 3-point victory. That was the famous Nick Bosa running with Baker Mayfield, you know, all the way to the sideline. He throws it in. It was a very frustrating end to that football game, but Brock Purdy led the charge, and Jake Moody actually made a field goal to win the game. It was pretty interesting, and I think that that's what the 49ers are destined for, something a little bit closer. Baker Mayfield's got plenty of weapons when you look at the offense, even with the injuries, you know, to Mike Evans and Bucky Irving. They still got so much talent on that offense. And I got to give a lot of credit to Baker Mayfield. He is playing spectacular football right now. 10 touchdowns to one interception, taking care of the football. Whenever you get that, you're a really good quarterback. But his ability to create off schedule and get things down the field to Emeka Ebuka, who has been really, really good as a rookie player, they've got a lot of ability. I think that's going to put pressure on the 49ers secondary in this football game to make sure they're always on point. And of course, how are you going to generate pass rush against Baker Mayfield is usually going to be the story right now with the 49ers. But yeah, he's been really good. And that Tampa Bay offense is very fun to watch.
Man, some teams are just spoiled, right? Like the 49ers are spoiled with linebackers. Like, unbelievable. You could talk tight ends, you could talk fullbacks, you talk quarterbacks. 49ers are spoiled there. You look at the recent history of the Bucs, that wide receiver position. I mean, Vincent Jackson, you know, RIP, man, that dude was a killer. Then they get freaking the stud Mike Evans, who's one of the greatest. I mean, dude's going to the Hall of Fame. Like, he's fighting to break one of Jerry Rice's records. Anytime you say that, like, you're in some incredible Hall of Fame status, most 1,000-yard seasons in a row. Then they get Chris Godwin, who's awesome. They love Jalen McMillan, who's not a star, but, like, he's a good number three, number two wide receiver. And then Emeka Ekbuka. Like, dude, is there anybody else that's, like, a shoe-in for the Rookie of the Year award? This guy is killing it. Got 5 touchdowns already. Like, and so it's just, I find it always interesting that certain teams, even whenever you have regime changes, general manager, offensive coordinator, whatever, like some teams, you just, the position flocks to the uniform almost. So talk to me just a little bit about this wide receiver room for the Bucs, because look, they're a mess. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans did not practice. Chris Godwin did play last week. What are your thoughts just about, man, Baker's playing MVP level. He's throwing into some elite targets. How do you see this?
Yeah, I think that they've got some weapons. Emeka Buka has really just come on, especially since Mike Evans got hurt with the hamstring. He's been the go-to guy that Baker Mayfield can count on. But we knew this coming out of Ohio State. He was the professional wide receiver. He was the guy that ran good routes, could get open, could play physical, but still had the ability to kind of be that Chris Olave, really smooth route runner. Not going to kill you with speed, but he's going to get open. He finds ways to pressure you. So he's really good. And then you look at what they've got with a guy like Sterling Shepard, who just understands the same sort of thing. He understands where to be, where to sit down in zones, really good feel for defense. And I think that he's a very talented guy for Baker Mayfield to be able to use. And now they've started using the young guy, Tez Johnson, a little bit at getting him out in space. You know, and he made some plays last week, and there was a couple of those, holy crud, where did that come from? Because he was making dudes miss. And he's only 155 pounds. He looks like he plays, you know, Pop Warner football for your area football team, except when he gets the ball. He's nasty. So they've still got weapons. And you always have to throw Cade Otton into that as well, who had his best game of the season last week against the Seahawks. He's formidable as far as catching the ball. So they have weapons. I believe Chris Godwin's going to play. I think you're right on that. I think that can make some tough matchups, especially if they get him lined up on Upton Stout. I think that you know, body, big physical body, the way that he plays, he's like a power forward. He can position himself the right way. He has a tendency to drop the ball a little bit, but I think that they definitely still have the weapons without Mike Evans. And of course, you're going to have to worry about Rashad White out of the backfield as well. He's a very good running back to catch the football.
Man, he was a perfect fit, you know, coming out of Arizona State. We were like, the Niners just draft so many Arizona State Herm Edwards guys now that 10 years changed, but he was one of those guys. I was like, man, he'd be a perfect fit here. Didn't work out, but yeah, you're going to get a seed number one with, you know, Bucky Irvin probably not going to be playing this week. So it's going to be there. Now let's focus on the Niners. All this talk about injuries, there's a lot, but probably the biggest shock where I did, like, you know, I've got the French Bulldog at home, and whenever you do like the voice, they do like the cock, you know, their head goes to the side. Like, Shanahan's going through his injury report, and he's like, oh, Khalil Davis limited, Kevin Givens limited. And he just kept going. I was like, wait, what? Kevin Givens limited? Like, we didn't even know his practice window got activated. Talk to me about what's going to happen at defensive tackle, because Alfred Collins, the hero of Thursday Night Football against the Rams, he did not practice yesterday. Khalil Davis limited. Also, you're bringing back Kevin Givens. What do you think the 49ers want to do there? You got Sebastian Gutierrez. You signed Bruce Hector. Evan Anderson's in play there. Like, you've got all these bodies. Some are banged up. Some are recovering. Some are injured. What are the 49ers going to do at defensive tackle?
Yeah, I was completely surprised. Twofold. Number one, that Khalil Davis was limited due to the fact that he just had thumb surgery or hand surgery. I get it. They said he was going to play in a cast, but they were looking at possibly 2 weeks away. That surprised me. And then you get, you know, the information about Kevin Givens, and it comes at the right time, because if there was ever a defensive tackle that can help you with pass rush, it's Kevin Givens. And that's exactly what the 49ers need, because Etor Gross-Matos is going to be out for, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, probably with the strained hamstring. That would be my guess. And so they've got to generate pass rush. And with the guys that they have, and that was one of my concerns, was, you know, if you bring up Evan Anderson, he's not a pass rusher. He's going to help you stop the run. You're going to be really good at stopping Rashad White. But what are you going to generate pass rush-wise? And I think that's a concern for the 49ers. So Kevin Givens coming back at this moment could be huge. Now, I don't know if they actually, you know, activate him this week. I don't know if that's something they do. But it looks like that could be an avenue they go. But I don't know what roster move they're going to make. And so this is an interesting dynamic for the 49ers defensive line. I now say that it's not going to be Sebastian Gutierrez. It's not going to be Bruce Hector, even though Bruce Hector, I have to say, played really well in the preseason. And when I looked at the list of guys, I said I thought Bruce Hector probably made the most sense. He's going to be a practice squad guy. He's depth just in case. But this is getting more interesting, where the 49ers have concerns at defensive end still and concerns at defensive tackle. But Kevin Givens would provide very much pass rush. That's what they need.
Yeah, that's huge. And, you know, shout out to Lou. Do you see, you know, Evan Anderson or Sebastian Valdez being brought up this week? Like, I just don't know how you balance, because we don't know. Khalil Davis got a club on his hand, just had surgery. Where is Kevin Givens coming back, just now practicing for the first time in almost 2 months? Do you think that you get one of these young bucks called up this week? Like, because, I mean, you got injuries everywhere, but kind of how do you see that? Do you think one of these guys off the practice squad is going to get some playtime this week? The regular season is wrapped, and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co., it's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order.
I think there's a possibility they could bring someone up, but I think the concern is going to be you still probably have to bring up a defensive end. So that is going to be priority, I believe, at defensive end. If Kalia Davis can play and Alfred Collins can play and you're not concerned about them going out and competing, you have the chance to just roll with it. Now, if I had to guess, it's probably going to end up being an elevation for defensive end and defensive tackle, and they're just going to make sure they have enough bodies there. Because I think that's a concern. But I don't know what they're going to do with the roster overall as far as moving guys around, because there's a chance they activate Malik Mustafa as well. So this is going to get real interesting for the 49ers and a little dicey. With Kevin Givens being out for 2 months, there's a chance, right, that you don't just have him as a rotational piece. You give him a week or two to kind of get ready. That's why I'm not sold he's ready for this week. If he is, great. But I think there's a chance. And I think it would be Evan Anderson over Sebastian Gutierrez because he played with the squad last year. You know what you're going to get out of the run. Gutierrez is probably the better pass rusher, but Evan Anderson could play early downs, and you could play Jordan Elliott a little bit more when it comes to the pass rush. He did pretty good last week, actually, against the Rams down the stretch when he had to be forced into there. I thought he did a pretty good job. Put pressure on Matthew Stafford a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. And, man, you're hoping some of those pressure situations can evolve and adapt. And, you know, and one of the questions that you wanted to discuss in the notes you sent over, shout out to producer Ant of the Cutback Crew, man. I freaking love it. How do you get pressure? How do the 49ers get? You had 16 pressures last week. There was one series where the 49ers blitzed five-man pressure four straight plays in the third quarter. Spoiler alert, did not go well. That drive did not go well. I remember just saying, like, dude, you cannot keep blitzing Matt Stafford this much. That is not going to be beneficial. But you got pressures. So for the pressure group that's like, ah, how do we do that? You got 16 of them. You only hit the quarterback twice. What is going to be the game plan from a coaching perspective? How do you make Baker uncomfortable?
Usually you would say rush four, right? I mean, that was what Philadelphia did for the most part against Tampa Bay that really kind of slowed down the Buccaneers offense in that week four matchup this year. They did mix in, Vic Fangio mixed in some blitzes here and there. They played physical with the wide receivers, and that seemed to be what worked. The problem is the 49ers, I don't believe, have a four-man pressure that can consistently get home. Not now. Right now, you can see every team is, they're going after Bryce Huff. They're chipping him. They're sliding protection his way. They're putting the emphasis on everybody else. You know, Sam Okwuanu had some moments last week. I thought he looked productive, but, you know, how much are you going to get consistently when he's one-on-one? So I think they're going to have to bring guys, but I think it's going to have to be different looks and different presentations. I think we're going to have to get some fire zone blitzes this week. They're going to have to make Baker Mayfield feel uncomfortable in the pocket. Because one thing about Baker compared to Matthew Stafford is if he starts feeling any pressure, he does want to pull the trigger right away. Matthew Stafford will flow away. He'll kind of move. He's very calm and cool in the pocket. Baker gets a little bit more jittery, and he's ready to get rid of the ball. So those type of things will give you opportunities. I do think they're going to blitz, but I don't think they can blitz like they did against Matthew Stafford last week, like you brought up, where it goes Upton Stout blitz, then Jason Pinnock blitz, then Marquis Siegel blitz. Those things are going to end up getting you cooked down the field. So I think that they are going to mix it in, but it's going to have to be a little bit more selective and a little bit more nuanced and creative this week against Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, and, you know, shout out to Howdy. The right side of the Bucs line, offensive line, Haggard and Charlie Heck are their right guard and right tackle. Haggard is the 48th out of 79 offensive guards ranked. And Heck is 70th out of 71. Again, I'm not the biggest PFF offensive line grade guy out there, but whenever you watch the tape, it is pretty common. But whenever you have Tristan Wirfs on the other side, like, yeah, like I would argue Tristan Wirfs might be the best left tackle in football already. Like he was in the conversation with Trent. And I think Trent's still Pro Bowl borderline all pro level, but like Tristan Wirfs, even dealing with the injury, he's only been back for a short time. Like, man, you just start watching that tape and it's just like, wow, like, all right, that is a very formidable opponent, to say the least. But the right side is vulnerable. There's no doubt about that. And shoot, we saw last year with, you know, Bosa, you brought it up earlier, where Bosa was holding Baker's hand for like 3+ seconds and he still completed it on fourth down. Like, Baker, even if you get the pressure, Baker's a gamer. And he is always jittery. He's like a little gerbil on freaking cocaine or something. Like the dude just, he's always been just a little like kind of spaz. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like there's guys that are just calm under pressure. And like you look at Brock Purdy's face played against Brian Flores and he's still just like all shucks. You couldn't tell if he just woke up or whatever. Baker's not that way. Baker plays with energy and just like he is always, I'm going to match the intensity level of everything that is going on in the stadium. So it's just different. It is a completely different position and kind of mentality of the quarterback position. And Baker's playing great. Let's just be very, very honest. He's definitely in the MVP conversation. It's crazy to say that. I love the career trajectory. I don't like Baker. I'm a Longhorn guy, but he's growing on me. He's growing on me. He's great. Look at Ben. He says, we cut Heck. Think about that. Now he's their starting right tackle. The right tackle position in the NFL is the worst talented position group, period. And Charlie Heck, that's going to be one of those for sure. Talk to me just a little bit about the return of Malik Mustafa. He said he's planning on coming back. Sean says Deep Six is coming back. All that, like, what is the impact that number six can have on this defense? Does he start? Does he get worked in? What do you see with Malik Mustafa?
Yeah, I think this is interesting. You know, I thought always that it was going to be once Malik came back, he's thrusted into the starting lineup. First off, I think that everything he put on film last year has been better than we saw from the safeties so far this year. So Malik Mustafa is the best safety on the 49ers team, I believe, at this point. So if he's healthy, if you're comfortable with him playing, you know, a pretty good amount of snaps, I think he's in the game. I think the question mark becomes who plays next to him. You know, Marquis Siegel is the best tackler, I believe, in the secondary for the 49ers. But he does have some limitations right now with coverage, and a lot of it's just his eyes. He's just a little slow to read things. Sometimes he's getting a little bit dirty looking in the backfield, or we saw in this game some of his drops. Like, he would see concepts, and he would expect one thing to happen, and they would do something else. So they're taking advantage of the rookies, that's for sure. I think it's probably likely they go Malik Mustafa and Jason Pinnock to probably start this game. And the reason I believe that is I think that Siegel then moves into the Jair role as the third guy and becomes the big nickel, which I think I saw for him coming into this season before the injuries and everything that happened. So I think that that's probably what I see early. I still believe they're moving towards a situation where eventually Marquis Siegel is starting next to Malik Mustafa, and that's the best situation. But I think in the, you know, medium part of the season right here, I think it's going to be Jason Pinnock, and I think he's going to get some of the looks that we've seen Marquis Siegel have to get, where he has to go cover the tight ends out in space, and they're going to see how this works out. But they will miss Siegel's speed and probably his ability to come downhill. I mean, nobody comes downhill like him and Malik Mustafa.
Man, that's going to make me upset, Ant. And I understand going with the veteran presence. I do think Jason Pinnock's a little bit more consistent coverage-wise. But, man, I watched the game last week, and I see Marquis Siegel correcting Renardo Green after the play on a busted coverage. And I see Marquis Siegel just making the play, you know, one of the many that made the play on fourth and one. Like, I just don't know if I could bring 36 out of the lineup. I don't know if I could do that. I understand why you think that, why that makes sense. I get it. Because you're going with the veteran presence. We're going to let them see. We're going to let them step back and kind of evaluate. But, man, Jason Pinnock doesn't make plays. Ever. Ever. Even if he's close to the pile, he ain't getting involved. He just wants to kind of just chill and hover. The coverage is there. Man, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't want that to happen. I love Marquis Siegel. I love watching that dude play. I love the attitude. I love the leadership. He's always where he should be. Man, let him get some snaps. I don't want him to go to the Jair Brown role.
Well, I mean, they've been playing Jair a lot of snaps. I mean, last week, if you look at the second half, Jair was out there a bunch. He never finished his plays either. You know what I mean? Like, he just does it. He's there, but he doesn't quite get it done. And, you know, I did see someone in chat say, what about Jason Pinnock playing the nickel, you know, the big nickel? And that could be true. Yeah, here, Gabriel, it definitely could. They could flex those guys, move those guys around. That's what's nice about having versatility of two guys who have played, you know, nickel corner in college. They have the ability to do that, and they still trust Marquis Siegel. I don't want anyone to think they don't. Last week, they went man coverage down there in overtime. The game is on the line, and Marquis Siegel locked up guys, so they have faith in him. I think that right now they'll probably feel more comfortable with Pinnock, and they'll let Malik Mustafa work around the box where he's the best, but we'll see. I mean, if Pinnock doesn't play well, it will be Marquis Siegel before you can even think about it, because that dude is a phenomenal tackler. And having two really good tackling safeties is beneficial to the 49ers, especially when it comes to run defense.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's going to be interesting to see, because six, he's the best. Like, it doesn't matter whatever safety, which the 49ers like to kind of rotate their safeties with the motions and the, you know, jet sweep motions and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's not the true free safety, strong safety. That's almost out of the NFL. And the 49ers run a lot of cover six, which I do like. I like it whenever they run that cover six back end look. Now, next up, I'm excited about this because we're going to talk some more 49ers offense versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, where the advantages are and all that right after this. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you gotta come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys. Kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out, and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right, look at this. We got my man RTPFTW. He says, flight time to Tampa. I think he's on his way out there. I fly out tomorrow. I'll be there. And I got this question from Hugo. He says, which jersey will you be wearing at the Tampa game, Chapman? Now, I love the new rivalries jerseys, right? So I want to wear that, but you can't wear that outside Tampa because you will die. You can't wear those dark colors. So I'm going to be wearing my rivalries Fred Warner jersey Saturday when we're partying on the beach out in Clearwater, Coco's North Beach. And then I'm probably going to be, man, I had a white, and I just remember this, I had a white Patrick Willis jersey, but I gave it away where there was like somebody that was at one of our road trips. I had a backup red, and I gave away the white one, which was, I don't have a white jersey anymore. And like, I got black and red, but man, I was at Tampa last year, and it was the hottest game I've ever been to. And I coached in Texas. I'm getting seats in the shade this year, regardless. I don't care about price this game. It is happening, but I hope everybody, if you're going to Tampa, come out and party with us. Do you have a traditional game day attire? Are you do you rock the jersey? Do you stay with the shirt? Do you just relax, comfortable? What's your game day approach for Niners games?
Yeah, normally I will wear like a 49ers type t-shirt of some sort. I usually go comfort. I don't like to mess up the jerseys. Now, if it's a big game, I will be rocking a jersey. I do have several, you know, player jerseys that I'll rock, but for the most part, I try to stay comfortable. You know, I'm kind of eating and everything. I don't want to mess up my jerseys, but yeah, I definitely enjoy wearing them when it comes to the big games, prime time especially. That's when I'm really rocking the jerseys.
Oh, man, there's just something beautiful about, you see a jersey. And I'm like this whenever I see opposing fans, like not Cowboys fans or whatever else, but like whenever I see somebody rocking another jersey, I'm just like, ooh, I want to talk to this person. I want to know the story. Like, why'd you pick that one? Anyway, so let's talk now. 49ers offense versus the Tampa Bay Bucs defense. They've got Todd Bowles is the head coach / DC. He's one of the best in the business. Exotic blitz extraordinaire, but they really haven't been a giant pressure team this year. It's been problematic for them. Who has the advantage in the red zone? Because the 49ers, with Mac Jones, a little bit better. But how do you kind of see the red zone shaking out when the 49ers get down inside the 20? They can move the ball. The 49ers can get in the red zone offensively with ease. Now, cashing it in for those touchdowns, that's where the problem is.
Yeah, and you know, this is one of those times where it's not strength versus strength, but it's weakness versus weakness. The 49ers red zone offense hasn't been good. You know, they're just over 40%, 42% when they score touchdowns inside the red zone. That's not effective. You need to be well over 50%. 49ers in 2023 were at 68%. They were the best in the NFL. That's a different story right now. But you look at the Buccaneers, 71% of the time that a team gets in the red zone, they are giving up a touchdown. So this is one of those situations the 49ers need to win. Last week, the first two opportunities, they definitely schemed it up. They personneled that defense to death. They got a good matchup for Christian McCaffrey on the second one. The first one, they got everyone to move for Jake Tungis, and Kyle Shanahan very effectively got some things done. Later on in the game, another red zone opportunity after Mac Jones had kind of re-injured his knee a little bit. They had an opportunity to run the football in on a couple occasions and miss some blocks. So they definitely got to succeed in this area. It's going to be tough to run the football up the middle against Tampa Bay in the red zone with Vita Vea. But right now, teams have been taking advantage of them, especially through the air with little gadget plays, but finding zones. And Tampa Bay's beat up in the secondary. There could be some opportunities for the 49ers wide receivers to get open as long as the offensive line will give them time. Still, DeMarcus Robinson should have had a touchdown in this game, but Mac Jones didn't have time. So I think the 49ers have an opportunity to be really good in the red zone this week. I think they can go over 50% in the red zone. I think Tampa Bay is going to provide some opportunities for the 49ers to score, because I do believe that this is going to continue to be a struggle for Tampa Bay until they get healthy in the secondary.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, Sean says, you know, the O-line has to do a better job establishing the line of scrimmage. Have not done well on the interior of that. Shane, same thing. Very difficult to be red zone efficient when you can't run the ball. I agree with you there as well. But, man, if you told me the 49ers will get to 50% in the red zone this week, I'm saying the 49ers win this game. If you can cash in touchdowns, you know, I'm making a lot of money this year by betting over 1.5 field goals every single game since Eddie P's been back there. That was something I would never do with Jake Money Moody. But, yeah, with Eddie P, man, field goal galore. Look at this. Trey Hall, thanks for the super chat, my friend. Christian McCaffrey running explosion loaded. The 49ers don't even have a rush attempt over 20 yards this year, Ant, through five games. That is crazy. Don't have a rushing touchdown. The only team in the NFL. Do you see big explosive runs coming soon? Or is this just the way that it's going to be for a while, where you average 2.1 yards per rush attempt on 33 rush attempts in a game?
Yeah, I actually wouldn't be surprised to see one of those plays bust for over 20 yards in this game. If you go watch that game last week, if I'm a coach, I'm frustrated because you are so close. Huge hole, one guy there, one guy supposed to block him, and they just don't go to him or they don't get him. It was a couple of moments here and there where the 49ers could have big explosive runs, and it just didn't work out. So they're getting closer. That's what I'll say. I know it wasn't completely effective run game, but it was effective enough. And I think that these plays are getting closer and closer. The edge guys are blocking a little bit better. You see the receivers who haven't been around getting a little bit more comfortable. Jake Tungis still learning how to get where he's supposed to go. I think they're going to get it done. I think it's still a slow process. You might get one this week that busts, you know, for 15 or 20 yards and gets an explosive. And then I think in the red zone, they're going to have to attack the edges of Tampa Bay's defense. You cannot run into the meat of that defense and run at Vita Vea. That's a mismatch with the interior offensive line the 49ers have, but they have opportunities. And I'll say this, the 49ers should have had their first red zone touchdown last week on the ground. They had a situation where all Kyle Juszczyk had to do was man up the linebacker, and he slow-footed it through the hole, and McCaffrey took the guy on one-on-one instead of him making that block. It would have been a walk-in touchdown. So that's how close they're getting, guys. They are working at it. It just they haven't been able to kind of finish it off yet.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's coming. Eventually, you're going to score a rushing touchdown, like just by default. Like you're going to have to do a quarterback sneak or something. Like at some point, it has to happen. Jake Brindle can only stop you so many times. It's coming through. Rusty, my man. And this is one thing that I do agree with. Brian Robinson, power blast in the red zone, please. It's a different type of running game when Brian Robinson is back there, just because the way he falls forward, the way he runs, he's got an extra 15 pounds on Christian McCaffrey. Like, I wish we would allow – I'm not saying take Christian McCaffrey out, but we saw for the first time CMC and Brian Robinson dual sets. We saw that for the first time this year. Now it's been a long week. It's already been installed on a short week. Come on, man. Give me some CMC in the slot. Give me some Brian Robinson runs. What are your thoughts on the whole Brian Robinson timeshare? Getting maybe 10 snaps and like 5 to 6 carries a game. Do you think that's enough? Should it be more or just kind of keep it there?
I think it's because of the personnel effectiveness right now, right? The personnel grouping that Kyle Shanahan's getting and the use of Christian McCaffrey in the passing game. If they had George Kittle, if they had Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall, we'd see more Brian Robinson because you wouldn't have to have Christian McCaffrey always enticing the defense. But right now, you've got to have that defense engaged in Christian McCaffrey to open things up for everybody else. You don't have your other weapons that can be that draw for a defense. So when McCaffrey's off the field, they pretty much know Brian Robinson's going to get the ball in a run play. The 49ers started running some play action, which I'm thankful for because then at least people engage. But right now, McCaffrey's become that complete weapon, right? He did some of the Debo things when they faked the double screen this last week. Like, they are moving him around and they know defenses have to pay attention, and that's why he's still getting those carries. I'm assuming once George Kittle comes back, once you get Juwan Jennings and Ricky Pearsall, you'll see the numbers for Brian Robinson kind of elevate when it comes to carries, like we were hoping it was going to, because now he's starting to really get accustomed to this offense, and I think it's going to happen. It just takes time.
Yeah. And I'm with you, Sonia. Like, I want CMC and Brian Robinson out there together. And you started to see it. Now, here's a question from Connor. Does having the extra days off negate traveling between the time zones? As somebody who travels for a living, it does not matter what you do. You travel three time zones, you're off, period. Like, I don't care. Now, the extra days are beneficial, and the later start is huge. Those early game kickoffs on the freaking East Coast, I almost don't even want to do them. I'm so thankful they flexed this game. And Ben says, you know, the later start is great for both teams, both body clock and weather too. Yeah, there's a chance for some rain early on Saturday and Sunday, but it's supposed to be cleared up. He says it's going to be a beautiful day in Tampa Sunday. I cannot freaking wait. Yeah, that's huge. And it's not even going to be like super hot like it was last year. I think it's like a high of like 85, but that humidity is always crazy. The 49ers needed those extra days off. That gave Juwan Jennings, you know, a chance to get a practice in Monday, rest Tuesday, rest Wednesday. John Lynch said on KNBR this morning that he expects Juwan Jennings to practice today. Still no Pearsall. So on the wide receiver front, Ant, Juwan Jennings I expect to play. Ricky Pearsall I do not. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Pearsall is going to play. I think that they need to probably be careful because he was kind of close right when he played through the injury. And I think he probably, you know, pushed through too much. And so now they just need to take a wait and see approach. Last week, the wide receivers did enough. Christian McCaffrey did enough. If you can add Juwan Jennings back, I don't like to say you don't need Ricky Pearsall, but I think you can live without him for another game while he continues to get ready and get back where he can really, you know, use his game the way he needs to. He needs to be able to get in and out of breaks. And if he's dealing with a PCL, he's not going to be able to do that. So let's give him some time. And I think Juwan's a big reason why they can.
Yeah. And look, you're looking at matchups. The NFL's a matchup game. The biggest weakness of the Bucs, right tackle and cornerback. Like, I know they signed McCollum for a lot of money, but he's not played great. And he's suspect against the run. And shoot, they're starting Kendall Vildor, fifth round pick out of Georgia Southern. You want to know about Georgia Southern? John Chapman almost played for Georgia Southern. So like, that's an indictment. Jacob Parrish, one of my favorite players of this draft, he got the start for the first time last week. They're playing him in the slot. Did not look good on tape. I think eventually he will be a good pro, but like, this is a cornerback room that you can take advantage of. Now the safeties, that's a different call. Yeah, I think you could say the best safety in the NFL right now is Anton Winfield Jr. That dude is lighting up the NFL. And like, you pair that with Smith, their other safety, Tyke Smith, Georgia Bulldog. Like, they have elite safeties. They have elite defensive linemen. And Levante David's still playing in the NFL. And I don't care. As long as that dude's playing, good things are going to happen. He's not what he used to be, but he's always been a coverage first type guy. So if you're going to take advantage of this defense, it's going to be that wide receiver matchup against those corners. And I don't care if it is, you know, banged up Juwan, Kendrick Bourne, DeMarcus Robinson. This is the best depth the wide receiver position has had for the 49ers through six games. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, you brought up Zion McCollum, and he's dealing with a thumb injury as well. So he's even beat up. And yeah, you're going to get Juwan Jennings, DeMarcus Robinson, you know, and Kendrick Bourne. It's a pretty good three-man group. They understand how to get open, how to make plays. They all got strong hands. I think we saw a little bit of what DeMarcus Robinson can provide this offense last week with some of the back shoulder throws. He's so good. And I think that this unit is good that Mac Jones can just really sit back and take what the defense is giving, and those guys are going to make plays for him. And so, and then you turn around, you look at the blocking that they're going to be able to provide as well. So I think that this wide receiver room is in a good spot right now. It's only going to get better once you bring back Ricky Pearsall, once you eventually get back Brandon Ayuk. Then they're going to be really formidable. But even Marquez Valdes-Scantling last week had some opportunities. He had the one that he caught, but there was a couple other times he was targeted that better throws, he probably would have had an opportunity to catch the ball. So it's good to see these guys, you know, that are veterans be able to step in and make plays for this offense.
So Treylon Burks, I remember a time where people were talking about trading Debo so that you could get somebody like Treylon Burks in the first round. Obviously did not work out that way. He's cut. He's free. He's basically a free agent that you can get for free. Should the 49ers pull the trigger here, or you know what, best just leave that alone and stick with what you got?
You know, I wasn't a huge fan of Treylon Burks coming out of college. I didn't see him as Debo. I saw him as a guy that, yeah, he had some yak potential, but there were question marks. I think that there's nothing more with Treylon Burks than a practice squad opportunity, right? You bring him in, you see what he could do. You say, hey, look, you could fit in our offense. But really, there's no position for Treylon Burks on this offense. I kind of like the versatility the 49ers have with their wide receiver group right now. And once Pearsall and Ayuk come back, you almost don't have enough room for guys like Sky Moore, you know, or Jordan Watkins. So I kind of like this group. I don't know if you need more guys, but a practice squad, take a look at him, see what he's got. I'd be okay with that, but I don't want him on the active roster with the current wide receivers they have.
Yeah, if we had a 90-man roster right now, right, and we just finished OTAs, I'm like, hell yeah, bring this dude in. Let's see what he could do. But with all the injuries to, shoot, man, Jacob Cowling, Ricky Pearsall, Jordan Watkins, Juwan Jennings busted up, it's like, dude, you need help now. I'm not quite sure that there is a roster spot available for that. Absolutely, you want a former first-round talent, yak, all that stuff. You love that. But we're not developing on our roster currently at the wide receiver position for these Flyers. You can't do that with four wide receivers injured. You just can't. So a luxury, I would like it, but I just don't think it's too practical at this point. Now, a couple other things I want to get to. Some more trade discussion right after this. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you. MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contest, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ers, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. All right. Now, we heard from Shanahan and John Lynch today on KNPR about the trade deadline. Sean asked, who do you think we should target as a trade at defensive end? If you think they should, is there somebody that you got your eye on, Ant?
I think this one is complicated for the 49ers because you have to be able to get somebody that you feel is going to make an impact above what you already have. But also, you have to have that team willing to do it, right? Like the Giants, for instance, everyone's talking about Kayvon Thibodeau. If they lose tonight to Philly, which is probably going to happen, there's a better chance that they're going to get involved in this. So I think the likelihood is there's some teams like Tennessee that might be willing to float a guy like Arden Key. And I kind of like an Arden Key type player. He's on an expiring contract.
Yep.
He's not going to kill you financially. You have versatility to play him outside and inside, which is very much needed right now with Ettore Gross Matos out. And I think he does provide a good enough run-stopping ability with the long ability to rush the passer. I like him a lot. I think if you're going with a guy that makes sense, that already knows the scheme, that is going to be cheap, that you're not going to have to spend a lot of capital on, I think Arden Key is one of those guys. And then when it comes to defensive tackle, I would look inside at Jeffrey Simmons from the Tennessee Titans as well. He is a little bit more when it comes to money, but if you need to generate pass rush, that would be another avenue. Now, I think I would probably go with Arden Key. I think that's something that John Lynch is probably going to want to do. Cheap, right? Effective, expiring. He likes all those things, and I think that's probably why they go somewhere there instead of the big names that we're hearing right now. Especially guys like Kayvon Thibodeau, who's a very talented player. Just when are the Giants going to feel that they're out with Jackson Dart at quarterback? I don't know.
Yeah, you're going to have to fire the general manager and the head coach before that happens, right? And so, like, teams have to be sellers. And, I mean, shoot, you're seeing the Browns out there making back-to-back trades, acquiring talent. Like, yeah, even the Browns are buying resources. So, like, you just got to understand the Bengals are out. Like, it's just, teams do not buy into this, our season's over. And until teams say, all right, let's acquire some stuff for the future, you can want whatever you want. But I'm telling you right now, the Bengals don't see themselves as sellers.
I hope that we'll get to the point where Tennessee will, because Arden Key is my number one, just because it matches value. And again, what did Shanahan say? He says, we need somebody that can absolutely help us this year without hurting us next year. Like, there's so many boxes you got to check there. You're not going to be giving up a second round pick, in my opinion, unless you're getting a player for multiple years. Well, then they got to be a cheap player for multiple years. I love Jeffrey Simmons. I think he might be the best defensive tackle in the NFL this year. But that contract, I mean, he's got three pricey years in a row. Can the Niners float that? Man, it'd be pretty cool to have him next to freaking Alfred Collins. Good gosh. Oh, man. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Get me excited over here, Ant. Get me excited. Just a couple other just kind of questions. We've got to talk offensive line. How has Connor Colby practiced at left guard this week? When will Ben Bartsch return? Well, Ben Bartsch started working out on the side field, but Shanahan said they do not expect him back next week. So that means you're going 2 weeks with Connor Colby minimum. I really feel like his tape has not looked good. It's not looked consistent. He looks exhausted. His technique gets worse and worse every single quarter. It's not all bad. Whenever he's on, he gets more movement than Pooney or Brindle. Like, he can move dudes. The consistency is just not there. What are your thoughts on Connor Colby so far, and what do you expect to see in the future?
Yeah, he really does lack consistency, and you expect that with young players. And I think that some of it's footwork, some of it's technique. He's struggling right now. They're taking advantage of him in line stunts, into these TE stunts, and he's just getting really cooked. And I seen Trent Williams start to get to the point of frustration. He was yelling at Connor Colby in this game. So I think that, Connor Colby, he was thrust into a position that he wasn't really ready for. He's doing the best he can, but they need something at left guard. And, you know, it's probably going to be whenever Ben Bartsch comes back, that's the answer. I think they're hoping it'll be Ben Bartsch, and then eventually they'll bring Spencer Burford back, and then they'll have full depth at left guard. But I don't know how they survive, you know, not giving up big plays with Connor Colby there. Because right now, I mean, the swim move is killing him. That has been a real problem for him. Lateral quickness with some of these defensive tackles have been a problem. And so I get it. You know, I mean, this is just going to be something they're trying to weather the storm. And if they can get a couple of more wins before Ben Bartsch comes back, I think that's exactly what they're willing to do. He hasn't given up any plays right now that are catastrophic, but they're close. They have been close to getting there and getting home against him. So, yeah, it's been a struggle for Connor Colby. I hope the young guy continues to get better, though.
Yeah, I would not hold your breath for an offensive line trade. Continuity is kind of like Chris Forster's, like, whatever. It's everything to him. So he's got to stick with the guys he's got. And I am very reluctant on relying on a healthy Ben Bartsch, who has not completed more than five quarters of play in back-to-back years without getting injured. Now, his last injury, I don't think had anything to do with being injury prone. Dude just got rolled up on. Like, that happens in the NFL. But a lot of the other injuries are an issue. But yeah, if Spencer Burford was healthy, I think he'd be in there getting snaps. I kind of wish they'd give Drew Moss a little bit more of a look. I know they like him on the right side, but man, it's bad. It's not bad enough to go Nick Sakel, but it's bad enough to see, like, what else you got. You know what I mean? And so the interior offensive line is going to continue to be an issue. I would say it's the biggest glaring weakness on this roster currently. But that's what happens when you don't draft a center since Marcus Martin over a decade. You have drafted guards, but you haven't spent really you spent a third-round pick and some sevenths and whatever else. But it's rough. It's crazy. Tackle, you haven't drafted a tackle in four straight drafts. That's the one thing that's working. Colton McKivitt's playing well, run and pass. He gets beat on the edge sometimes on those speed bursts. Trent Williams playing well. And for the people saying, what would you say to the people that are like, oh, Trent's not Trent anymore, whatever else? Like, what does the film tell you, Ant? Because I know what I've said on this show earlier this week, but for people that are like, oh, Trent's washed, he's too old, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I don't think he's washed. I think we see a couple of things here and there where you look like, you know, maybe Trent's still not healthy from the week one injury completely all the way back. I think there's that. I think that there are moments, too, that he's not being helped by his left guard counterpart. I mean, this is a position that you have to have somebody that can play next to you, that you have, you know, really confidence in, that they're going to do their things. And sometimes it makes Trent look a little bit more, you know, out of sorts than he is. But I think he's still playing very good football. I think we just have him on such a high pedestal, because of what he's been able to do in his career, that he's all he's done is he's not playing the best offensive tackle in the NFL right now. He's playing like top five. And, you know, that's one of the crazy things about Trent Williams. He's just so good for so long that you see any sort of a drop or anyone get to the quarterback and you're just amazed. And Trent Williams is still playing good enough football for sure to be a premier left tackle in the NFL.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Like, you can keep watching almost every game. You know, we go through every snap, offense, defense, and it's just like whoever the other team's left tackle, Trent's better than. And so, like, if you want to put together, like, the low lights or whatever else, or you want to count pressures, yeah, there's some issues there. But that dude's better than every left tackle he's played so far. Now, this week against Tristan Wirfs, maybe not, but I'm not sure anybody's better than Tristan Wirfs. And I just want to say thank you, man. I really appreciate doing these shows together. What else do you have on the schedule for this week? I fly out tomorrow morning. We need people to go to 49ers Cutback. Talk to us about what you got going on this week.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a offensive key matchups episode. I have that coming out, how the 49ers can attack that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. So I think it's going to be very important. I'm going to get deep into the red zone and what Kyle Shanahan's doing personnel-wise. So everyone can come check that out. I'm going to be doing that tomorrow.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, guys, this has been an absolute blast. Next time you hear from me, it will not be a live show. I'm going to be recording my kind of preview show at like 5 in the morning because I'm flying out, and so I'll release that one later. I don't even know. I'll be on a plane whenever I release it. But, man, the 49ers are 4-1. Traveling all the way across the country to Tampa. If you are going to Tampa, I hope you come out and say what's up. But until that game, gosh, man, get it done. Go check out 49ers Cutback. Ant, you're the best. Everybody else out there, till next time, stay strong, faithful.